Duh. Gee.
That's how we start the show.
You're going to slap me that time. Hey, everybody.
I was trying.
To Real Estate Makes Us Drink. Brian Quinlan here from Daniels Real Estate.
Brad Nickham from Nest Mortgage Group.
Oh, you purposely didn't wave this time. And once again, we have a guest today. Sir, please tell the folks who you are.
My name is Kevin Smolar. I am the official title is Director of Brewery Operations for Sun King Brewery here in Indianapolis, Indiana. But I work at a brewery.
Did you hear that? We got somebody else to talk about beer.
And you know the best thing about my buddy here that's talking about beer? When he got here, he asked for a glass of
tequila.
Love it. Oh, yep. That conversation did say he does taste things for a living. So, you know, he's more than just beer, which is great.
Yeah. Diverse individual.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Speaking of drinks, Brad, what do you got today, buddy?
Well, as you know, I'm one of those pain in the ass people that can't have gluten. Talked about it for a long time. So I feel bad that I can't have a Sun King. So what I did in honor of the beer drinking is I grabbed one of my buddy's bottles, Arturo Lamas, the owner of Lost Lore Tequila. Well, and this has been rested in Revolution Brewing's barley wine barrels, the Straight Jacket barley wine barrels.
Okay.
Very good beer, by the way.
It makes a very good tequila. I will say this. The beer kind of comes through and it's got a great flavor. So, Arturo, thanks for doing this beer-rested tequila. So I have something to drink tonight because I miss my beer and I don't want to be sick. So,
all right. Well, good for you. And I know, Kevin, you got a tequila, not the same as that one. Do you know what you're drinking?
G4, the Blanco Maduro.
Blanco Maduro, that's right.
There you go. It is exceptional. I've had G4 once before. I remember Stanza was one of the best tequilas I've ever had. He asked me what I wanted to drink, and I said G4. He had to have, what, 4 bottles up there? Just like nothing.
Yeah, 4 or 5 bottles of G4.
I am very glad he came to this today.
Yeah, well, we're glad you're here. I am glad you're here. I've been talking about this interview for a couple of weeks now. Kevin brought me a slew of Sun King beers, which I'm thrilled about. And he even asked which I wanted, which I appreciate that as well. I will throw this out there. I'm not an IPA guy, which is why they're generally similar beers here. But we've got what I'm actually consuming today is the Sunlight Cream Ale, which is one of my favorites. And I've had this one on the show before.
Many times you've had that on the show. As an IU person drinking a Gene Katie beer, it's like really crazy.
Yeah, but that one is quite good. Then the Indianapolis Brewing Company lager you brought.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fairly certain I've had that before, but not often enough to say I remember. But then this one showed up.
Yeah.
Can you describe what this is here?
Absolutely. So we have a really, it's called a barrel-aged beer program or a specialty beer program. Every month we release a new barrel-aged or sour beer. This is an example of a barrel-aged beer. So this is a beer that's set in bourbon barrels. The base beer is a Doppelbock, which is a German-style dark lager. One of my favorite styles of beer. It is a great, great, malty, delicious kind of thing. Then we set it in bourbon barrels for about 18 months. And over that time, the beer picks up flavors of the barrel, the oak, the char, the vanillins, the caramels, butterscotch, whatever, and all that flavor gets infused inside the beer itself. And you're left with a very delicious bourbon barrel aged beer. So one of my favorites, Afternoon Delight is the name of the beer. Done this beer most years since about 2015, and it's won multiple awards and accolades and it's quite delicious.
Sweet. I will honestly say, not normally a dark beer guy, but I look forward to trying that.
It's not bitter, so I think you're not into that part of being dark beers, but it is very sweet, very much a dessert beer.
Sweet is good.
It is around 10-11% alcohol, so just heads up.
Okay, yeah. Good to know. Glad I didn't choose to open that one tonight.
I can't wait to hear Brian's explanation of what he gets on the palate and its aroma and all the flavors.
So, Kevin, the running joke on the show here is that I have taste pals, not taste butts, because my taste just is truly not that refined.
That's awesome. I like
So, you know, it's pretty... Yeah, it is what it is.
His taste buds are kind of like the family that only comes over on Thanksgiving.
Well, cheers to you, sir.
Cheers, my friend.
Cheers.
Thanks for being here.
Cheers, Kevin. Cheers, Brett. Thanks for having me.
All right. All right, Kevin. So you came to us through a mutual friend who we've had on the show, John from the Two Bearded Guys podcast.
Yep.
And he's like, I know the guy from Sun King. I was like, I love Sun King. And so he graciously shared your contact information with me, and here we are. So I guess we'll start there. How do you know John?
Yeah, I've known John now for, God, it's been 5, 6, 7 years. I don't know. We have a mutual friend. His name is Brian Suter. Very handsome man. Hi, Brian.
Has he got a big beard?
No. He, okay. A little mustache, but, you know, he's just still handsome. Still handsome. So, Brian, I've been friends for.
He's not an ogre or anything.
Man, sorry. That went off the rails real quick
there. It's great. Right.
I've known Brian now for about 13 years. We've actually been homebrew buddies for about all 13 of those. And then at one point, Brian worked for Books and Brews Brewery up off 96 and 69 up there.
That still exists?
That still exists.
Okay.
Yep. Brian was the brewer there, and John was their operations manager. So he was in charge of the facility itself. And those two became friends, and I just kind of met John through Brian. And, you know, fast forward a few years, we're good buddies. John kind of joined our homebrew groups. We brew beer in my garage about once a month. And
oh, cool.
You know, they have a good time together.
So, and you've been on his show a few times.
A few times, yeah.
Just want to throw this out there, John. You did mention when you were on our show that you were going to talk to Brad and me about coming down and being on the show.
We're ready.
We are ready.
It's a good time.
Hey,
it's fun.
So you mentioned homebrewing.
Yeah.
And you work for Sun King, yep. But you still brew something of your own at your house.
Yeah.
Is it Sun King-esque, or do you just kind of jack around with things and see what happens?
Jack around with things, see what happens. You know, it's very, I used to be very serious about it, and nowadays it's, I've made enough beer in my life where I know it's going to turn out pretty okay. So it's fun to experiment, try new things. I also get a lot of free samples from vendors at work for pops and grains. So I use up whatever free stuff I can. And if I can make 15 gallons of beer for the price of propane to burn it or to boil it, that's pretty great. So
free beer is always?
Free beer is pretty incredible. It's my favorite kind of beer.
So. Yeah. You mentioned, you know, brewing. You mentioned flavors and tastes and stuff. So clearly you have some sort of background prior to working at Sun King, maybe in science?
Yes. So I actually have a bachelor's degree in biochemistry from IU as well.
Oh, hey.
You guys.
Yeah, let's bust out one of them gene kits.
Yeah. Biochemistry undergrad. Then I moved to Indianapolis for a master's program in biology. Did that. Never really knew what I wanted to do. You know, believe it or not, working in brewery is not my goal as a child to one day,
shocking,
be a brewer, I guess. So, so kind of figured stuff out for a while, did some odd jobs, went back to school, got another master's degree in forensic science.
Ooh.
And at that time, I started working at Sun King part-time, just in the tap room, filling growlers, bartending, as a tour guide for a little bit. Loved it.
Done the tour.
And it was fun. It was a good time. And when I graduated, they had an opening in the lab. That's my background. So, I'm like, hey, I could either, you know, stick with forensics, a lot of blood and semen, or go into beer. And that was a much better fluid, in my opinion.
That is a better fluid.
Yeah.
That's a great way to put it. You probably said that a few times.
Once or twice. Yeah, yeah. It's a good one.
It reminds me of the movie where it had McLovin in it.
Yeah.
Superbad.
Superbad, where they said, you know, we could catch the guy if there was any semen. Yeah, yeah. If there was semen here, we'd get him, but there's not. You know what I'm talking about?
I do. Yeah.
Yep.
Thought that was so funny. So
it's true though. Yeah. Yeah. There's semen on everything. Seriously. It's gross.
Well, that is
it's gross. Yeah.
Never.
Thanks for tuning in to Semen Talk.
Semen Talk. Get a blue light before you get to your hotel.
There you go. All right. So in terms of Sun King beers,
yes.
Do you have a favorite?
My go-to is our Osiris. That's our house pale ale. That's just the one I drink regularly.
I do like that one.
Nice. Yeah. I've got a kegerator in my basement that beer's on tap year round, pretty much. Love our Pechanga Mexican lager for summertime. Seasonal though, our Oktoberfest is my favorite beer. I think I love Oktoberfest beers. I
is
think
it
ours is
pumpkin-y.
No, not at all.
Okay.
It's a very malty German lager.
So, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Very, very good. And then, yeah, obviously, any of our specialty stuff that's barrel-aged or soured, always usually pretty good. Got some fun stuff coming out here soon. We're doing one up next that is a peach Bellini sour. So
I like peach Bellinis.
That's kind of fun.
So a sour means you're using some of the mash from the prior mash.
No.
Correct?
So with beer, sour beers are intentionally done. You actually add different microbes to it.
Okay.
So when you're making beer, even doing tequila or anything else, your first step is making fermentation.
Right.
It's either mash with grains or agave or sugar or any sort of sugar source, really, to get yeast to consume the food to create alcohol. The main yeast for brewing is Saccharomyces cerevisiae, which is just a standard yeast strain that also used to make bread, but it consumes sugars and produces alcohol and carbon dioxide. For sour beers, you actually add in bacteria. There's a species called Lactobacillus pediococcus. The same species actually make
man, this
yogurt.
Really just kicked up a level of nerdiness.
After spending a week in distilleries, I'm tracking.
Are you good? Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we're adding different microbes to it, and those produce different flavors during fermentation. So they don't produce alcohol, they produce lactic acid,
right.
Malic acid, or whatever. Yeah. So, yeah, sour beers, a beer can go sour if you do it wrong. Like, that's just a mistake that happens. But if you do it intentionally.
That's unintentional.
Yes, yes, which happens, and it's not great. But if you do it intentionally, it's pretty amazing. You get some really cool flavors. I mean, the entirety of Belgium, their whole history is sour beers and how they've done stuff for hundreds of years. It's pretty amazing.
Does it literally have a sour taste to it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
So different than a sour mash bourbon, where that means it came from the past mash to bring that.
Right, the sourness doesn't really carry
over.
Yeah, and it doesn't really carry through to the final product, though.
Gotcha.
So sour mash bourbon does not taste sour. Sour beers are actually sour.
They're, okay.
pH is usually the high twos, low threes. A lot of lactic acid, like I said, a little bit of acetic acid sometimes. But if they're done right, they're delicious. If they're done wrong, they're real bad.
Hmm.
So there's a fine line there.
Hmm.
Ours are good, though, I promise.
So I guess you said you started with Sun King,
mm-hmm.
from bartending, touring, cleaning up, all that kind of stuff, right? Kind of give us your progression from that to currently director of operations. How long have you been doing this?
I've been there now since 2012, so that was 13 years.
So 13 years. Okay, so what's your 13-year progression?
So
current.
About 2 years I spent in the tap room doing bartending, tour guide. I actually washed kegs at night during grad school, so it was just a way for me to get kind of into production, and did that for about a year and a half. Kegs are gross, by the way. So, yeah. Seriously, you get them back from places. And I know the restaurants not to go to in town. Fortunately, most of those did not survive COVID because for various reasons. But
they died.
They sure did. But the amount of times I found like raw shrimp or just lettuce or pieces of food on top of kegs, like, man, that's gross. We do clean our kegs for that reason because we don't refill them if they're dirty like that. Then I had the opening in the lab. I took that. Worked in there for about 8.5 years. We have a pretty amazing lab, and people don't always often associate breweries with science and lab work, but there's a lot of science and beer, and it's really pretty amazing. So the background on biochemistry, we not to nerd out some more, but
it's all right.
Micro-wise, we do everything from plating to yeast propagation. We do PCR in-house to identify yeast strains and cultures that we have going on. We have a Headspace GC mass spectrometer for flavor profiling. We do EBV testing, IBU, which is bitterness testing. Colors, protein content, carbohydrates, all the nutritional analysis. It's a pretty full stock lab. Like, it's pretty impressive. Yes, sir.
Do you have any propagated yeast that you've made on your own that would be natural or wild yeast from your area?
So that's our sour beers and stuff. We have a whole sour program. We have a few strains that were actually banked, and they are proprietary to us. I can't say what they're called because actually I don't know. And they're really just numbers. No, not that exciting, but.
Do you like an open fermentation, or is everything a closed?
We do. But to find these yeast strains, we literally took buckets of unfermented beer and left them out in our sour building.
Sure.
Just let them do their thing. And you stiff them. Some smell great. Like, hey, that could be something good. Others smell like bile and vomit. And
delightful.
Yeah. It's definitely a gamble. And you find a few that paid off, and we made some cool beers with them. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
When you think of, like, you know, if an area has, like, fruit trees planted around where you're, you know, fermenting, all of those things become part of that wild yeast that then can make the terroir of your beer, right? Like we talk about in wines and tequilas. That's pretty cool.
That's exactly it. That's the entirety of Belgium. All their beers for hundreds of years. I mean, microbiology has not been around for, 150 years? 1850s or so was when we discovered microbes and bacteria and yeast and stuff. Before that, they just knew if you took the foam on top of a fermenting process and put it on more of it, it would keep going and make more beer or wine or whatever. So a lot of these places just let the windows open, and whatever is naturally in the air, the flora and the fauna, would just ferment. And if it was great, the place survived and is still around today. If it was bad, they stopped making stuff and people died.
Guess that wasn't any good.
Yeah.
Hey, we probably shouldn't have them cows by there.
All right. So I have driven past, actually, no, I've been in briefly the Sun King off College Avenue.
Yeah.
So right downtown. That's where you're located.
Yeah, yeah. That's our
specific place.
Right? Yeah.
And I've been to the Sun King in Carmel because my Sun King shirt here, my daughter used to be a server up there. And I've been to the Sun King at the airport, which I totally appreciate when I'm hanging at the airport. Some Sun King beer. It's great.
Yeah.
Where else is Sun King located? Let's just talk Indiana for now.
Yeah. We have a tap room in Fishers at the district, they call it now, or the yard district.
I think the yard changing.
Yeah, they've changed the name a few times, but That's a small batch brewery. So we do have a small brewery system up there. We do specialty beers out of there, much smaller batches. We have one brewer up there who does a great job. Experimental stuff, new styles, just things to kind of diversify our tap rooms and whatnot.
That's a kitchen as well, right?
It is. Yeah, well, kind of. It's the Fisher's Test Kitchen. So it's three different food pods, and they rotate. I think they have an 18-month lease, I want to say, but it's people that have, you know, have a food truck, want to see how a brick-and-mortar spot would do. Let's try it out for a few minutes, you know, for a few months and see if it works.
Amazing facility.
It's a cool spot, yeah.
So, and they are independent of you all.
They are, correct.
So, right. Yeah. But you all don't serve or sell food.
We do no food at any of our locations.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so any spots that have our food, they're local restaurants that have,
I was gonna say,
outposts or whatever.
When I've been to the one in Carmel when Alex worked there, it was always a separate, still in the building, yep, but definitely a different business.
Yep. They pay us rent, and that's it. So it's a nice little partnership.
Yeah. When you're tasting all of those different beers, mm-hmm, as I've learned in tasting lots of tequilas, it's good to have some form of food.
Something to absorb.
Substance is not
very true.
All right, so Carmel, and you mentioned Fisher's.
Airport, downtown.
Is there anything south?
Nothing south. Well, very south, but not in Indiana. Kokomo, we have a spot, a small brewery in Kokomo. Okay. And then we have a taproom up in Mishawaka, so northeast-ish in Indiana.
Is the Kokomo one in the Hip Hugger by any chance?
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
Not that I know what that is, but...
Bullshit. Anyway, you did mention there was one coming soon.
In Westfield. Oh. Late this year, early next year, still working on details. It's a brand new building. Partnered with the city of Westfield to kind of get it open, so it should be a nice little... Very similar to our Carmel location, so okay, taproom only, local food stalls. Should be a nice little outdoor area to drink at and hang out and whatever.
Close to the Grand Park area?
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
And you had told us off camera the Carmel one used to be a brewery, but they don't actually make it there.
Distillery.
That's, yes, yeah. I apologize.
Wait. Distillery, so what are they distilling there?
We did tequila. We did rum.
No, you did agave spirit.
We did agave spirit. You're right. That's fair. That's fair.
I'll clean that up.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry. It's all my tequila people that watch. I'll clean that up for you.
It was labeled agave, too. It was not labeled tequila.
Can't put tequila on the label.
Yeah, we learned that pretty quickly.
I bet you did.
Yeah. it wasn't very good.
But either way, you don't do it anymore.
You don't do it anymore. It just was never really a big thing for us, and we'd rather focus on beer. So
interesting,
yeah,
with two college towns not far from Indianapolis that you're not necessarily located in either of those spots.
College kids don't want to spend $6 on a pint of beer.
Well, that's fair.
What about old Milwaukee?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I drank as a kid.
Yeah.
those Purdue kids drink the shit out of this.
They have been, actually. Yeah, that one's been pretty good for us. It's in Mackey Stadium, too. So.
Where's a rip?
Yeah.
All right, so... Yeah. Now, I have friends in multiple other states, and when I do bring up Sun King, some of them know what that is, but I'll say the majority of them do not.
Sure.
So where else is Sun King located outside of Indiana?
Currently, we're in Illinois, mostly Chicago, but we are found statewide in different parts of it.
I'm from that general area, so I've seen it up there. South of Chicago, Orland Park was
my city.
Throw it out to your homies.
Sub Orland.
I was born in Cal City.
Oh, okay.
There, so, yeah. Other side of it. But.
Yeah, yeah.
To your homies.
Yeah, I guess.
Feel the love.
I grew up in Indiana, though, so we were right on the state line. Anyway, Kentucky, a little bit in Kentucky, a little bit in Ohio, and then we have a big spot in Florida. So we do have a tap room down in Sarasota, Florida.
There we go. My parents are there today.
Matt Braun, Sarasota.
We went down to start distributing in Florida a few years ago. It's more just a, let's see what happens. When people hear the name Sun King, they don't often associate that with Indiana. They think Florida or California or...
I was outside today. There wasn't any sun.
You'd call it Gray King.
Yeah.
This year.
Overcast.
Less of a ring. I don't want to drink that beer.
King.
So, yeah, we just took a shot at it. It's going pretty okay. And Florida's big on local. So to get us in local market, we had to have a brewery there. So you open a brewery, have a brewer there. We brew our own beer down there as well. Small batch stuff is. We still ship beer down there from up top, from downtown Indy. But
Matt, if you need a side gig, maybe you could talk to the Sun King guys.
So, like all over Florida, though, like you're in Jacksonville or St. Augustine,
yeah, your whole statewide,
all the
awesome.
Yeah.
So I've always wondered, because in my opinion, Sun King is a big thing. Why not nationwide or more states? What's the challenge there?
A lot of it is, A, just managing our size. We are limited in how much we could really make just based on the size of our brewery. Beer is in a weird, alcohol in general is in a weird kind of turmoil right now. Just people are drinking less. which is a good thing. Not saying that's a bad.
It's only because it was dry January.
The tequila world's healthy, though. We're all drinking lots of tequila.
Very good. Good. But, yeah, it's very uncertain how that's going to play out. So distribution laws are tough. Every state's got different laws on how you distribute, how much it costs to distribute, who you have to go through for that. It's just a pain. So it's one of those things where we've been in a few other states here and there, but we kind of wanted to stay. Initially, just wanted to stay in Indiana and then found a way to kind of expand a little bit outside of Indiana. And we're kind of content with that right now.
Okay. So,
can you explain a little bit? Because I know our normal viewer is not going to understand how alcohol's sold in states. So could you explain the three-tier system?
So in Indiana, we have what's called three-tier system. Is basically we have to sell our beer to a distributor, and then the distributor can sell it to liquor stores, restaurants, and whatever else. There is a cap in Indiana where we're allowed to, if we produce less than, I think it's 20,000 barrels a year, or 30, maybe it's 30,000, you're allowed to sell to whoever. But then you need your whole team of logistics people and salespeople, and it's just a lot. So at one point, we were actually the largest self-distributing brewery in the country. This was 2014, 2015 maybe or so, before we signed out with our current distributor. The reason for that is just the way the game is played now, you need that foot traffic. And we had a great group of people that could do Marion County, downtown Indianapolis. Our distributor did all the donut counties. But once you got into Marion County, our distributor was now fighting with our own team for their tap spots. But then outside of the city, they were fighting for some, it was just a weird dynamic. So made the decision, yeah, I think it's probably around 2015 or so, to go with full on distribution. But we have a solid distributor. In Indiana, we're at least allowed to sell our beer through our tap rooms. So we do not, some states.
So you don't have to pay the distributor even though you're selling it in the tap.
That's the Indiana thing. Every state's like that. So some states we have to actually sell. We have to sell our beer to our distributor, then buy it back from them to sell in our tap rooms.
Sell tequila.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So.
And then are you allowed to do on-premise with one distributor and off-premise with another distributor? Or is your distributor do both?
It's more so your distribution agreement. Whoever your distributor is, it's what kind of contract you sign with them.
Got it.
So, most are not very cool with you working with other people. They want you all for themselves, which is, it's business. It's fair.
For people who don't know, off-premise is liquor stores. On-premise is a restaurant or a bar, somebody that's selling to the end user.
Thank you.
Yep. You're welcome.
No, it's good. Yeah. So we use Monarch is our local distributor in Indiana. They're one of the bigger ones.
Yeah, they are.
Right down the road.
They are actually. Yeah, they just moved. We have three distributors in Indiana, the whole state. In Florida, we have seven. And just the way the distribution works down there, it's just a very different ballpark than Indiana is. So it's different set of laws, different set of who can sell who can sell to who. And I don't keep up with it because I'm not a lawyer and I don't care.
So that's not your area.
So let's say somebody's in Iowa and they've been staring at a gray sky all winter long and they want a Sun King. Do you have a place where someone can order online and get it? Like,
no, because in Indiana, you cannot ship alcohol.
So is there any place in Florida?
Could Florida? Then I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know. Ooh. I don't know.
Okay. Because Florida's an easy ship state to 40 something.
Is it? Okay.
There you go.
Yeah. Some states don't even allow you to even receive alcohol. So you.
Correct. Yeah. You have to put in the box that it just says agave juice. Oh, I'm sorry. That's.
Yeah. We say.
Way we do it.
Yeast juice.
We say live yeast samples. So we put on boxes.
There you go. I get lots that say agave juice.
Nice.
It might be time for a shot break.
He's almost done with the G4 Moderna.
Okay.
And that's that tequila right there is.
He's done with the G4.
Amazing. Well, I bet he wants another tequila. I know you are a little tequila adverse.
It's correct. All right. We're going to take a shot break. We will be right back with whatever that's going to be.
Cool.
I'm Brian, your Indianapolis realtor. If you are looking to buy or sell a house in the Indy area, I'm your guy. If you're coming from out of state, want to make a move to the Indy area, I'm your guy. Check out the show notes for a link. We can get in touch and get you started. Thanks for watching. Now back to the show.
Ooh. All right. So Kevin has chosen Cascoween, right?
Cascoween, yeah. Cava Rosales, master distiller, coming out of now Mexico. And here, you can read this because you speak Spanish better than me.
No, I read Spanish. I don't speak it.
What would you say that word is?
Siete veces diez.
Siete veces diez.
Seven something ten.
It's an anniversary of a certain thing at Cascoween. This is a very hard-to-find reposado. This was given to me by my buddy Johnny at the
Benford. Nice.
So thank you, Johnny.
We don't talk about that place. Anyway, There we go. Cheers to you, sir. And being good tequila, you don't have to shoot it. So feel free to sip on that.
Actually, good tequila, you should never shoot. What do you get on the nose of that?
It is health. There's a little bit of fruit, but it is very
muted. Yeah.
It's not like normal tequila. It's missing that citrusy, even that kind of salty character you get from
brine.
Yeah, that brininess is not there.
These guys are killing me.
It's very floral.
It does have a very floral bouquet to it.
Actually, since you kind of ripped me off by putting it in the shot glass.
Actually, you chose the glass.
Oh, the orange peel or orange zest.
I mean.
Yeah. Nice. Like I said this off, but it reminds me of almost drinking like a rum. It's kind of got this sugarcane-esque finish to it. It's almost got this kind of gritty palate.
You know what? Rum is one of my favorites. So
I like a lot too.
Nailed that right there. Okay.
That's a good tequila.
It's a very good tequila. Yeah, I've never had a tequila like that. That's pretty incredible. Thank you for sharing.
So you need to come over to Brad's more often.
That finish gets you on both sides of the back of the tongue. It's like really balanced, the acidity.
It's a little oily too. It feels
a lot of viscosity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's from the agave. When you tahuna crush an agave and you cook it at a lower temperature when you distill and you ferment for as many days as they do, you get a lot of oiliness and a lot of flavor out of it.
Sure.
Chava's pretty good at this.
That's.
They know what they're doing.
Killer.
All right, back to beer talk. So, as director of operations, like what are your duties?
So, a little bit of everything. I kind of am in charge of all production managers, kind of my informal title. So I'm in charge of all production, do everything with, so we have our head brewer, our brewmaster, I guess, is our owner of the company. Brewmaster is very.
Can we throw him a shout out? Who's the
brewer? Dave Colt is his name.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, Dave.
He's owner, founder of Sun King, one of the owners, and founders. He is our brewmaster. He's been brewing for decades. I won't say, I don't want to embarrass him, but for a while.
This is a question that may not appear if I don't get an answer. Omar.
Yeah.
No longer with Sun King. Was he one of the founders?
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Like everyone knows Omar. It's funny.
We're going to come back to that.
All right. Since we're in the cutout part, we're not.
Sorry. Who owns the blue Lamborghini? Blue Lamborghini. A baby blue Lamborghini.
No one that I know.
Okay. Because I was told every time we're at Sun King, there's in Fishers, there's a baby blue Lamborghini.
And everybody told me that was the owner of Sun
King. Oh, no. Our owners don't know.
Okay.
No. One has a Jeep. One's got a truck.
By the way.
Yeah. Yeah, sure it is. Yeah.
Okay. So you may know one of my former neighbors, Omar.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, I don't know that I ever met Omar, but his next door neighbor is a friend of mine. Sure. And so we'd go to his house for parties and there'd always be Sun King beer. And he's like, oh yeah, my neighbor's, founder or whatever of Sun King. How is Omar connected?
Omar Robinson, his son Clay Robinson is our other co-founder with Dave.
Okay.
Dave and Clay, they met each other. Dave was, the head brewer at the Ram downtown Indianapolis. You remember that brew pub?
Yeah.
Clay was an assistant for a little bit. Then Clay was the brewer at Rock Bottom, and they kind of went back and forth on, hey, what would you do?
No longer there?
No longer there. No, there's Ram, yeah. What would you do if you were a brewery? Came up with the Sun King back in, opened July 1st of 2009. Omar is Clay's dad, and Omar is very much a businessman. He's opened and started a lot of businesses, a lot of place things, a lot of stuff with food. So he was just kind of more of a silent owner, businessman, and helped them kind of get going with stuff.
He's no longer my neighbor. They moved. But
yeah, they're in Phoenix.
Did you sell his house?
No. I know. Like I said, I didn't know Omar.
Omar, next real.
Omar's still around a little bit. I see him every now and then. He calls me regularly about stuff.
Nice.
He has a few other companies that are beer adjacent. So we work with them for can printing. He works for the company that has digital can designs. So we buy cans from them that they print the logos on and stuff. And we do a lot of, one of our next big things is our THC seltzers. I don't know if you've seen that from us or not, but we do Delta 9 THC seltzers. It is legal. And Omar works with us a lot of that. He's his own company that we contract package for and stuff.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Hot beverages.
Yeah.
Hey, dude.
Hemp beverages.
Hey, so it's funny.
Roll me that can.
my wife's side occupation is working at Total Wine down in Greenwood.
Nice.
And so it's a big thing that now they're selling the THC beers.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife has worked her way up enough in the company where we get a certain number of free beers per month. and she doesn't drink beer, so that's my perk. And it was a big deal the last time I went in there. Like, did you get the THC beers? I'm like, no.
Why not? Why?
I have no interest in that.
Yeah, but you may become really artistic.
Maybe. I might. It's a really good point. Start writing poetry.
I can't wait to write
this
into a podcast like, hey, dude, I wrote a song about nature.
It'll be great.
And math.
Oh, yes. This is it. You're hitting on all cylinders here. Okay, so with Sun King,
yeah.
Is there a goal to produce a certain number of new beers on a yearly basis?
No, not really a goal. We have we start our yearly planning meetings in June. So this June, we'll start planning for 2026 what we're going to make. We have our house beers they make year-round. Obviously, Sunlight, We Mac, Osiris, Pechanga, this IBC, the Brewing Company Lager, GFJ, our IPA. And then we kind of rotate out for seasonal beers. So we have our seasonal variety packs. We have seasonal 16-ounce line, monthly seasonal.
The Gene Katie's the seasonal.
Gene Katie is a very special one-off thing that was...
Will it be back next year?
As long as Mr. Katie's cool with it. This was his idea, actually.
Oh, no. Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
That makes it cooler.
Reached out to a mutual friend of Sun King, said, hey, I'm 80-some years old or whatever he is. 88, I think he's 88. He's like, I want my own beer. I'm like, all right.
Curious.
Did he like yell at you at any point in time? Because
no.
That'd be my favorite.
You know what? Adversarial as Gene Cady was as a basketball coach, I believe he's a really good dude from stories I see and hear about him.
The story I got from him, he mentioned IU, out to IU and whatever. So he said he looked up to Bobby Knight. And then the first time they played each other after the game, they were the handshake line. And he went to shake Bobby Knight's hand. And Bobby Knight looked him in the eyes and said, fuck you.
Oh.
And KG's response was, oh, fuck you too, buddy. And after that, we were best friends to the day he died. They talked on the phone once a week, every week until he passed away.
Bobby Knight, I heard they were very good.
They were very close. Yeah, big teddy bear. Let's put it that way.
Gene would have threw a chair back at him.
Yeah.
So he comes to you all and says, I'd like a beer.
Yeah.
He said, how does that evolve into this thing?
He said his favorite beer was Coors Light. So we're like, all right.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, comes to a craft brewery, says, hey, I want a beer. My favorite beer is Coors Light. It's like, all right, we'll work with that. So this is a light American lager. We just kind of worked back with a few things that we had kind of our sleeves and tried a few things, did a few experiments, tasted through a panel with him, and then finally decided on something that he liked a lot and rolled with it. The production of it. And
no offense to you all, Coors Light is my favorite beer. Oh. And I would absolutely equate that to a Coors Light for sure.
That was the point we were trying to make him happy.
Wow, so that would have been the one I would be drinking in.
There you go.
Yeah.
Beer flavored water.
I did like your Mexican beer though.
Chinga? Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. Yep.
It is tasty, and as much as I love the Sunlight cream ale.
Yeah.
No offense, I don't like the orange vanilla.
That's fine.
Yeah, and it's not for everybody.
Understand about your profile.
And I like your orange flavored stuff, so it's interesting that I didn't really care for that. But
yeah, I mean, if everyone liked the same beer, we'd all be drinking Budweiser, so it's kind of nice.
I would not be drinking Budweiser. I don't care for Budweiser. Budweiser or Bud Light, bad.
Yeah. I mean, that funnels to the tequilas, because I think there's 200 different tequilas on my wall, right?
Well,
about the palate.
Yeah, exactly.
So if somebody asks you, what is your favorite Sun King beer? Do you have like a...
And maybe it's one that doesn't even exist anymore.
Oh. Like, do you have an available answer? Because when people ask me what's my favorite tequila, it's whatever one I have in my hand today.
Sure.
There's too many to say.
Yeah, so my go-to is Osiris or Pale Ale. I just drink... That's my... When
your
it
daily
down,
drink.
When it down, we have an Osiris. I don't think on that, though. We've made a lot of good beers over the years. So we have one on tap right now. Actually, just want a quick shameless plug. Is actually my recipe. It's called Cargo Schwartz.
Okay.
It is a Schwartz beer, German-style dark lager.
Cargo Schwartz.
Actually, me and John and Brian, there's a homebrew of ours for many years, and I had the opportunity
somewhere on the can, may the Schwartz be with you.
No, that's taken. That's
Is there a too big a Cargo Schwartz on the can?
That's it's not in the can, it's just on draft, but the photo is just a guy in Cargo Schwartz with the beers hanging out of the pockets. It's pretty great.
That's outstanding.
Yeah, but German-style Schwartz beer. It's a dark German lager. I love it. It's one of my favorites. So very, very proud of that one. We do a beer in the fall called Caramel Apple Triple, which is a Belgian triple finished in rum barrels. And then we add to it apples that are flambéed with cinnamon, brown sugar, and more rum. And it's like this caramel apple.
Wow.
13% alcohol, big beer. It's delicious.
Wow.
Great around a campfire kind of thing. I'm a big fan.
Okay, I'll hit you with a deep question.
Oh, yeah.
So all of this time you've been in the beer business, you've learned so much. and you've had all these amazing beers. Mm-hmm. So if you could pick a beer and then a person to drink it with, which beer would you pick? And who is
this the kind of question we need to throw them in advance?
So yeah, I didn't think about that.
No, it's better to do it on on front. So you got to think. So who would be the most amazing family member, you know, deceased, alive, famous, whoever? Should be the person you would love to sit down and share your beer knowledge with, pick the beer for them, and then share it with them. Who would that person be?
Oh, boy.
I can give you a few seconds to consider that.
Please do for a second.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, folks, we're still trying to raise money for Brian to run the Disney Marathon. And up here is the money we have raised so far. We're looking to get to $1,000. Money's going to be donated to the Perry Township Schools Food Pantry. Brad said he has offered to match that up to $1,000. So thank you for that. And hit that QR code. And no joke, it's going to send Venmo to me, but I'm going to make sure that money goes where it's supposed to go. My wife runs the food pantry, so, you know, I'm not going to steal money from my wife. Goodness gracious. So please help out, and sign-ups are coming up soon. So please, you know, throw some donations that way. I would really appreciate that because I want to run 26 miles.
I can't wait to see him do it. I can't wait. And it's going to help a lot of people. And, you know, to help a local food pantry like this is amazing. And while we have a Sun King guy here with us, and we're thinking through this big, deep thought process, you know, a lot of you have watched our show for over a year now, and I bet everybody will agree, we need a show sponsor, like a beer show sponsor that we can talk about a beer every single week.
Good thing Kevin's
like,
not listening right now because it's absolutely shit.
Yeah, so he's going to have to run that up somebody's flagpole and go, look, this guy's got great tequila and they have a great show and we would love to sponsor
not
this.
Not to mention, we're going to be in Florida running the Disney Marathon, ideally. We're absolutely open to wearing t-shirts with sponsorship on it.
We will.
So, yeah, you know, Sun King and others are located in Florida. Just saying, feel free.
Some Siempre.
Siempre.
Got to get Alex on their game,
This is your way out of having to run the marathon. Just throw money our way to run it for you.
Ooh, I'm going to say this. Ooh. I'm going to put it out there, and if Alex watches this, I'll donate $2,000 to the charity if Alex runs the marathon with us.
What? You know, drunk Alex did say he was considering it. Back when you were in Mexico,
I'm gonna say
Alex
not quite inebriated.
I don't know. He was,
We'll send this to you, Alex. You have the decision to make.
All right, Kevin. So you've had time to think.
I have. Yeah.
You got an answer.
I have two answers. That's cool. The first one,
awesome.
Also two parter. Both my grandfathers. The one I never met. He passed away before I was born. And the other one passed away when I was a teenager. I love to sit down with them now and just have a beer with them and just talk to them.
Nice.
Non-serious note, Stephen King. I'm a big Stephen King. He doesn't drink anymore, but like back in the 80s, if I could get like prime 85 Stephen King just to hear his thoughts and just sit down with that man, it'd be incredible.
Is there an alcohol-free Sun King?
Yes, we have three options right now.
Well, it sounds like you got something you can hook him up with.
Yeah.
Stephen King, I'm sure you're watching.
You're watching. Yeah.
And if you are, we need a little production and direction.
He's a book writer. It's fine. We're all good there.
Yeah. I love hearing the grandfathers. Mm-hmm. I ask this question to my interviews in tequila because a lot of them are people who have started a brand or, you know, like Arturo from Lost Lore, you know, he's keeping a family tradition going. And to hear people talk about how they like to sit down and share with a family member past and really show what you've been able to do and what you've learned and what you've built and what you want to be able to share that with them to see how they react. I think it's really awesome. And to know, you know, you don't know this, I don't know this, but, you know, when you think back to it and they talk to you, they'd probably walk away very proud of you. And I'm very proud of what you've been able to do and the work that you put in that. That means a lot. So that's thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah. All right, ready to wrap?
Okay, so I can only think of like the one Busta Rhymes.
Lead you some Kendrick Lamar. You watched the Super Bowl.
I can't, no.
Do you talk that fast?
No.
Just be humble.
Come on.
Josh. You know, here's what I want to say about the Super Bowl. I would love to see a country artist do the Super Bowl. So can Beyonce do it next year?
Right. She's already been on there as a pop star. Let's have her now as a country star. I think that's fair. All right. Well, once again, thanks for watching.
Just flip everybody off.
I do it. I unfortunately do it.
Everybody off.
I unfortunately do it often.
Flipped off all of them.
There you go. So maybe it was Beyonce. Ooh.
Hey, thanks for watching.
Anyway, thanks for watching Real Estate Makes Us Drink. Kevin, thanks for being on.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Appreciate you, my friend.
It was a pleasure to meet you and learn more about Sun King. This is great. I'm definitely going to hang out at the College Avenue one
time. Let me know.
Oh,
yeah. Where do we apply for that show sponsorship?
we'll talk. Cheers and cheers, and we will see you next time on Real Estate Makes Us Drink.
Cheers.